playing with a kind of a sporting theme, I suppose you could say. Yesterday, the FAI chief executive, John Delaney, admitted that he was indeed the man caught on video phone singing a rebel song in a pub in Dublin just 8 days ago on last night week, or Tuesday night week, yes, I should say. Let's remind ourselves briefly of the song in question.
And those lie behind me, may your courage be the same. And I pray to God my life was not in vain.
That's a brief extract from John Delaney's rendering of the Irish Republican song, Joe McDonnell. Here he is explaining on 2FM yesterday morning about the song.
First of all, look, Joe McDonnell is a song that's been sang in my presence. That I've chipped in or I've sang on a number of occasions in the past. I'm not somebody who supports violence at all. When you sing a song like that, you don't believe in every word that's in the song. I sing a large number of songs, maybe five or six different ones. And I know it's normally done in a private way. What I will say, if the song offends anybody, of course, I'm sorry. That's not in my nature to want to offend people. But it was something that I have sang or have sung in my presence.
And that was John Delaney talking to Ryan Tuberty yesterday. Now, over the weekend, legal letters were issued denying that, in fact, John Delaney was the one singing in the Bath. The Bath, of course, being the name of the pub on Bath Avenue near the Aviva Stadium. The Guardian newspaper received one of those letters before any story had been published. Joining me now, Roy Greenslade, a professor of journalism at City University in London, also, of course, a columnist for The Guardian. Good morning, Roy. What happened
Good
at
morning,
the Guardian? Sir. What happened at the Guardian sports desk?
Well, I think that it's really hard to know here whether or not The Guardian were even planning to do a story, but they were sent a notification of the clip, and I think they tried to check it out with the FAI, and the FAI's lawyers sent them a letter saying that isn't our man John Delaney. Now, I can't imagine for a second that lawyers would send that letter without being sure that what they were told was correct. So they must have been told either an untruth or it must have been an accident, i.e. Perhaps Mr. Delaney didn't really think it was him, didn't realise he'd been recorded. It might have been that the FAI didn't properly examine whether it was Mr. Delaney. It is possible, I suppose remotely possible, that both sides knew it was him and hoped to get away with telling their lawyers a fib. If so, I'm afraid it all blew up in their face.
It hasn't worked. Now, the name of the firm, I understand, is DiBello Law. What can you tell us about them?
Well, this is interesting because I know most of the legal firms, but I don't know them, and I don't know them probably because they're located in Ireland. So they would be, as far as The Guardian understood, a legal firm that they checked existed, and they were therefore accepted what they were told. I'm not, by the way, an important thing here, Sean, is to grasp that I don't know that The Guardian would have even run a story on it because... firstly, Ireland is largely off the agenda as far as England's concerned, except perhaps in football. But even so, I wouldn't have been absolutely certain that it would have made a story. It made a story, of course, once The Guardian discovered that the legal letter was wrong, then it did make a story. But I'm not certain they would have run one initially, as, say, the Irish Times did.
Remind us, what did the legal letter say? Did it threaten that action would be taken if this matter was pursued?
Well, it had that normal kind of legal threat lurking in the background, suggesting that should they be foolish enough to publish an untruth, then they would have to take the consequences.
Roy, what do you think is the story now? I know you spent quite an amount of time in Donegal, where I suppose the singing of Republican songs wouldn't be entirely unknown. So generally, what do you make of this?
Well, for me, I thought it was a complete non-story, for all sorts of reasons. Firstly, it was, a man perhaps in drink, in a bar, singing any song, especially with great respect to Mr. Delaney, rather badly. I wouldn't have thought that added up to much of a story. I thought your use of the phrase rebel song was interesting. I mean, for me, that sounds like something from 50 years ago. This was a song marking the death of the hunger strikers in 81. I think it's perfectly
okay. I suppose in a long traditional line.
It must be okay for Irish people to sing Republican songs that mark the death of people who were prepared to die on their behalf. So it didn't strike me as much of a story, really.
But what about the fact, though, that it could be seen as quite an incendiary thing to do, given the sectarianism that is just beneath the surface in a lot of football grounds? And bearing in mind as well what happened the last time there was an England-Ireland match here in Dublin, I think it's almost 20 years ago now, but I mean you could see perhaps or envisage elements of the National Front or their fellow travellers using something like this by the chief executive of the Football Association of Ireland to whip up sentiment, to whip up, you know, antagonism.
Well, actually, I don't think they even need that, do they? Because rather ridiculously, and I think this says much about the intelligence of the average English football fan, they were singing anti-IRA slogans during the match that England played against Scotland, which is bizarre when you think about it. So I don't think they needed any extra incentive to misbehave. I personally think, you know, what a man does largely in private is his matter. Of course, that raises the problem, Sean, that there is no such thing as privacy nowadays, and I think everyone needs to be alert to the fact that whatever they do, even in public or semi-public or what they think is a private situation, they have to beware and take the consequences that somebody may be recording it, somebody may go up on Twitter and so on, and I think everyone needs to be aware of that. I personally don't think this will make any difference whatsoever. A football official, not even a manager, not even a player, singing a song, for a snatch of a song, will make any difference to how when England faced Ireland. It just will not be, a matter of interest.
Yeah, and just to quote from John Delaney's statement, saying that the recording was made without the knowledge of anyone in attendance and was made to try to construe some link between me and a non-peaceful approach to life, which I reject completely. And on the question of the legal correspondence, he said that on Monday during the day he was travelling with his partner from abroad and uncontactable. There was some confusion, he says, to a third party around the background of a video which appeared and where it happened, which led to misunderstanding. So I suppose that's his last word on it, perhaps, on
the
subject.
Well, I think the misunderstanding is probably the reason for the sending of that legal letter. Although I would say that lawyers ought to beware of sending legal letters that haven't had the imprimatur of the person at the centre of a conflict. So I think it was their job to have actually contacted Mr. Delaney before they ever sent that. But I think this is largely a side... when you think about it, this is a side issue to a non-story, if I can put it that way.
Roy Greenslade, columnist with The Guardian, thank you very much indeed for joining us.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.